that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live this Saturday morning. Almost the end of the month here. January 30th, 2016. We do welcome you here. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning again to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us here. Windy morning here this end of January. Sometimes January goes out kind of nice, and we've got snow today and snow next week, so we'll see how that goes. Praise the Lord, we're here. Well, we'll open up in prayer, and then where we go, well, who knows. Well, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Heavenly Father. And thank you for this day of life that you give us, Lord. This opportunity that you give us to fellowship with one another, Lord. To open your word and to have steel sharpening steel, Lord. Iron sharpening iron as we read the word, Lord. As we share our thoughts and parts of the scripture with each other and with the remnant. Lord, we ask you to be here with us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, join us. We say, you are welcome here, Holy Spirit. Join us. Pull up a chair and be here with us. Guide our thoughts, guide our words, and just have fellowship with us, Lord. That's our request today. Father, we thank you for the remnant that are out there, Lord, the truth junkies that just want truth, Lord. And we know that is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tells us, Lord, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we seek Him. We know that truth comes from Your Word, Lord, and anything else can be a lie, but not Your Word. We thank You that You are faithful, Lord, even when we are not, that You are always, always faithful. Lord, we thank You for our pastor that labored so hard in the vineyard, Lord, that through your help and through the guiding and direction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, built this ministry up, built it on that foundation of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord, and we ask you to guide our hands, to guide our work as we continue to build upon that foundation, Lord, as we continue to get the gospel message out, the truth of who your people are and who your people aren't, and the truth of sin, Lord, and of the need for repentance and change and a returning to you. Guide us, Lord, as we continue to do that. Lord, help this broadcast today be a blessing to your people, Lord. Let it be an encouragement to those that tune in. And Lord, I know it'll be an encouragement to us. We'll give you all the praise and glory, Lord. Guide and direct us as we continue on this work to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And again, good morning. It's Coffee with the Wranglers. Got our coffee. Got our Bible open, and phone lines are open if you want to call in, folks, 307-745-5913. Didn't know if you men had somewhere you wanted to start this morning.
No, if you look at the headlines, I mean, you're seeing a lot about Clinton's emails again, and you know, it's just talk about an ongoing deal there with Hillary. It's 22 emails of her were found that were incriminating, but are still going to be considered classified because of their top secret information that's in them. You know, I mean, gee whiz, how long have we been going on hearing about Hillary's emails? It just seems like it's that's one thing that just never ends, and it's pretty obvious that person there, I think I'm going to call her a woman, but that she can get away with darn near anything as far as in the political arenas. Going back to the Benghazi shootings, she was heavily involved in that, and it's kind of amazing how fast or how much. The Clintons have got away with over the years. You look at, how many people when Bill Clinton was in office, how many people died that were close to him or that worked for him that were in his office? I think it was like 40, I think it was 41 or 42. I can't remember. It'd been such a long time since I've seen the documentaries on it. If anybody ever wants to watch any of those, the Clinton Chronicles were a great set of videos, and I believe that I was told that you can watch them for free online now, and it's called the Clinton Chronicles. It basically shows you how investigates 40 different murders that were people that were closely associated with the Clinton family. And
yeah, wasn't there the Mena, Arkansas connection or something too, wasn't it? One of them?
Yeah, that was in there. That was a subpart of Clinton Chronicles.
The drug connection, yeah.
And it was the drug connection, and it showed how they were involved with the drug cartels and how they were trading drugs back and forth. And, these people that were, that were working closely with Clintons, I mean, they would have them, where a person committed suicide with a .44 mag to the back of his head and, the gun still in his hand. And, I mean, stuff that was just completely impossible, and they would rule them suicide. A lot of them they didn't rule as murders. They ruled them as suicide or accidental death when there's absolutely no way possible on the face of the earth that they happened the way that they said they did. And, it's like nothing new under the sun. It's like, how do we keep getting these corrupt politicians right back in there? This is Hillary. Well, yeah, Bill and Hillary for how long? And now it seems like they just keep coming around and coming around and coming around, and the corruption just never seems to stop following it. And you would think that that people would remember some of that. And it's what's amazing to me is so many people that knew and understood a lot of this stuff, 10 years ago and knew how corrupt they were 10 years ago have completely forgot how corrupt they are. And now the point that I'd like to make is there's what is going on? Because, you know, you, those are the kind of things that you don't think a person would forget, but a lot of people have.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, is it a spell casting? What is it? But, I mean, I don't know. Is people make, and it could be that people have just been so dumbed down through the fluoride, you know, through the genetically modified foods, or through, you know, through diet, that, you know, they can't comprehend a lot of these things. I don't know.
Well, good comments, good comments. Well, guys, we've got a caller this morning. Daniel from West Virginia is on the line. Good morning, Daniel.
Hey, how you guys doing there? I'm a new believer in a sense that I finally totally surrendered everything. It was back in April 2013, and I was taking care of my mother up in Pennsylvania. I was living amongst the Amish and the Mennonites up there. And it was right before my mother passed. She was 90 and a half. And and so the day before was the National Day of Repentance, and the day after was the National Day of Prayer. But on May 1st, right in the middle, I was laying in bed, and I was kept awake from 8 o'clock at night to 2 in the morning, and I had ministering angels visit me and celebrate me, a lost sheep, back into the fold. And it was just amazing. And I heard this music. It was like music in tongues playing all around me. And after that, God, you know, convicted my heart to the things that I was doing. He said, I was creating idols, and I was collecting a bunch of old things. And so I ended up, after Mom died, I ended up selling everything and giving the money away, and then living out of my car for 17 months to trust God. Anyway, when I called, I was calling originally because I heard, I just got done listening to this, Adam was not the first man. And it was a really good explanation, you know, how he put together the Genesis 1 and 2. I'm actually going through the whole Bible right now. Actually, I'm using the Tanakh, but I'm going through it 2 chapters a day, and so it's been real enlightening. Another thing to let you know, too, about me, and God has been using me, you know, pretty powerful, is I'm an ex-transsexual, so it's I have a Facebook group called Ex-Transgendered and Supporters Following Jesus, and it's grown, and it's over 200 people now. And so, you know, in this day and age when it's so accepted, you know, there's a lot of people who are realizing that it was a terrible mistake. But I had done it because the lust in my life was so bad, I didn't know how to deal with it, and so I became a eunuch, and I did that by way of a gender change. It was the only way I figured I could do it. It was either that, or pluck out my eyes, or cut off my hands. And so I went with the gender change. I figured Matthew 19:12. If anybody has any questions.
Let me stop you for a minute. Let me ask you something. Have you repented and been baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, definitely.
By immersion?
Excuse me?
By immersion?
I don't understand that word, immersion.
Immersion, completely water baptism.
Oh, yes. I in 2008, when I reverted back from being faking it as a female to being a male, that's when I had I went into a pond, and I was baptized in a pond.
Okay, well, he certainly calls his people out of sin.
Yep.
Yes,
well,
he does.
Praise the Lord.
Definitely.
Well, we appreciate
he's convicted me about
testimony.
He's convicted me about willful sin, and so there's no willful sin anymore. And I understand now that willful sin gives direct punishment. And one of the things that when I had read the Bible, you know, back in 2008, as I read about sins of the fathers on the sons, and I have two sons, and it really convicted my heart. And I knew that I had to change my ways because I didn't want it to affect my two sons.
Sure. And Daniel, that's the thing that his people, our people need to do is read the Word. You know, repentance and baptism is a new beginning. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's a new beginning. And the Bible talks about the old creature is gone, and that we are a new creation in Him. And so, you know, once we are that, then, well, we look forward to what He has for us. And the Bible even tells us that. You know, it says, not looking back, but looking forward to you know, being that new creation in Him. And that's one thing we want to do, is to make sure that we do. We look forward, we smile at the future, and we read His Word, and listen to His Word, and that is, you know, that is how He speaks to His people today.
I was calling because I was interested in the you know, the pre-Adamic man and the different races that have married and their blood is mixed with you know, Adam's man,
right?
And you know where that falls into your teachings.
Sure. Well, we sure teach that we are to, as the Bible does.
We've got to move on, though. We don't have time to get into that right
yeah.
here.
Okay. Daniel?
You can call back the office, and we can get you some information. Yeah, we've got to get on with our program. We only got an hour here right now.
Yeah. Daniel,
okay.
Do you...
And I heard you talking about Clinton, and, yeah, there's a website out there that, you know, I knew about, you know, that was causing, you
sure.
know,
sure. Well, yeah, Daniel,
all the murders.
Well, we sure appreciate the call, Daniel. And if you want to give us a call on Monday, our office number, not the call-in number, the office number is 307-742-7582. That's 307-742-7582. You can give us a call on Monday at the office. Thanks a lot, Daniel, for the call. Well, 307-745-5913. Praise the Lord. The angels rejoice when the sinners repent, and not only repent, but obey and do what the Bible tells them to do. And that's repent, and as John said, get baptized, get your sins washed away, become born again. That's not just a thought process. There's an action involved with that. And praise the Lord when that happens. Hopefully you are reading your Bibles. If you are, just about finished with January. The entire Bible reading schedule per month and the whole year is available on our website, scriptures4america.org. And you can go up there, and February is coming up on Monday, so you can go there and click on the February Bible reading plan, and it'll give you the PDF. You can download it. You can print it. I encourage you to do that. Print it, fold it up, have it maybe in your Bible, and then you can highlight, check off, use it as a tool to help you, to help remind you to read your Bible. You know, one thing, if our Bible reading plan today is Matthew 20, 1 through 16, and it's the comparison of the kingdom of heaven with the vineyard and the owner that has the vineyard, and the owner has a lot of work that needs to be done in the vineyard. And so he goes about early in the morning and hires some people, and then about the third hour, and then a little bit later and a little bit later, because there's still work to do. And then at the end of the day, he rewards those that worked for him. And they all get the same reward. And, you know, it's a great parable. It's a parable that, as it starts out saying, for the kingdom of heaven is like. It's a parable that describes what the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's what these parables are. So if you want to know what the kingdom of heaven is like, you don't have to go buy a bunch of books. You don't have to have somebody else tell you. You can read in your Bible and have Jesus Christ tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like. And if you read that parable and it doesn't agree with you, because when you're in the flesh, it won't agree with you. But that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. So I encourage you to do that. That's one of the one of the very important things about reading your Bible as a Christian, is you get greater understanding the more you read it. And you know, it'll explain to you, it'll tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like, and of course the explanation of it, of what that vineyard represents and who the owner of the vineyard represents. So anyway, encourage you to read it. Not going to take the time here to read the whole thing, but encourage you to be reading your Bible. It will encourage you and strengthen you to get through the trials and tribulations that we have today.
Amen. I think changing the subject a little bit, I think the Lord revealed to me something that an evil in the land that snuck in under this health care provision, abomination care, which basically they couldn't get the original death panels through on the law, so I think they watered it down some. But there's something new out there that I hadn't heard of until this week, experiencing it close to firsthand by really good friends of the family that went through this situation. But it's called palliative care, and it's a division or a branch of what hospice was. Well, hospice, if you've ever been through it, the idea was to make the patient comfortable in the last couple of days when death is imminent, you know. And for the most part, I think up until recently, and there's probably still good hospice today, don't get me wrong, but this palliative care, I was reading about it, and I'm doing some research, and I think it's important to put together an article about this too, to warn our people, because our people have loved ones that don't quite believe like we do, who, you know, in my book, there is no nursing homes, there is no end-of-life care other than nurturing care that we can give as family members, and I know that that's not convenient, and we actually went through it with Dad, and it's difficult, absolutely, but that's the way that, in my opinion, God's plan is. But I was reading this article, and it said, in my 1 year of working daily with interdisciplinary team, which included a palliative team with palliative physicians, I soon became aware that there was a strong agenda of pushing for a quicker death. In pushing for a quicker death, there's always the emphasis on comfort care, letting nature take its course. By letting nature take its course, what they really mean is no more treatments to prevent infections, and actually they remove the nutrition and hydration. And in fact, she said that many a time the palliative care that she was working with, they said the family chose to keep the patient on nutrition and hydration. They don't realize that 1 ounce of nutrition can necessarily prolong life another couple of weeks. If only families would be informed and realize that all this money is being spent for prolongation of a miserable existence and not life, they would withhold this kind of treatment and just let nature take its course. Well, it's basically a prescribed euthanasia, and the experience that I had this week was good friends of ours. In fact, the young man that we prayed for with the collapsed lung that had the praise report that the day before he was supposed to have surgery, the test showed that the lung had healed and there was no need for the surgery. Well, there was an aunt, 80 years old, that was admitted to the hospital. They determined that she had stage 4 cancer in her bones and also lung cancer, heavy smoker. And we prayed for her on on Wednesday night as well, that the Lord's will would be done, basically grace and mercy and peace for the family. But up until that time, she was doing fine. She went into the hospital. They put a chest tube in to drain some fluids around the heart and the lungs and gave her an IV. And she was up walking around the hospital on, I think it was Tuesday. And then this palliative care team, very caring, you know. In fact, what I hear is there's degrees now that you can get in the universities to be a certified palliative care advisor or something like that. And they come to you and they say, well, we just want to discuss with you these options of not resuscitating, you know, in the event that she stops breathing or whatever. Well, yeah, almost anybody's going to agree to that. There's no point if they die in their sleep to try to bring them back to life. But as soon as the daughter, who was had the power of attorney, signed this paper, immediately they pulled the chest tube, they pulled the IV, and they would not give her food or water, and basically she just was laying there suffering. And you know, you wonder if she was coherent, this and that. Well, apparently, this is the story that I hear. The son came and grabbed her hand and said, Mom, do you know this is, you know, Andrew or whatever? And she squeezed his hand, like, you know, she knew she was still conscious. But, and then to make it even worse, the 80-year-old father, who had been married to this woman for 60 years, this palliative care approaches him and has him sign this paper so that his family doesn't have to make that decision when his time comes. And really, it's just a prescribed euthanasia, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that a lot. You know, and it's looking at those decisions. You know, I just lost my grandmother about a year ago. I guess not even that. And always down there, and they basically explain it. It's like, you know, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, they give you the options of that, and you know, basically, you look at the fine print: is no food, no water, no nothing to help any of the situations. You know, my grandmother was in the hospital she ends up going into the hospital for a fall, and she gets a blood infection while she's in the hospital. You know, she was there for a week and a half, and every day they told us, well, she should be able to, you know, when she went in there, they said she was going to be in there for a week to 2 weeks. And, you know, towards the end of the time that she was in there, oh, she can go home any day. And then next thing I know is I go down there, and oh, well, she caught a blood infection. Caught a blood infection while she's in the hospital, supposed to be getting well. And they said, well, you can take her back to the nursing home, but, you know, it's not to get well. It's, you know, she's on her last stages of life. And basically just went downhill because of a blood infection that she got in the hospital. And then when we got her over there, then it was, you had to make the decision, okay, so what exactly do you want to do? Do you want to give them, and I'm like, well, yeah, we're going to feed her. You know, you're going to give her food and water, you know. Now, above that, you know, you want to make them, I wanted her comfortable, and I had to fight tooth and nail to get them to do that. You know, they didn't want to, and it was, well, what's the point? And I'm like, the point is if you're thirsty, you need somebody to give you a drink of water. If you're hungry, you need to eat, you know. I mean, you know, you don't starve somebody, and that's not part of the dying process as far as I'm concerned. I mean, dying process is a natural process. Been going on for a long time, but you know, if somebody's thirsty,
water,
they'll give them a drink of water.
Sure.
And they looked at me like I was nuts, and then they were, you know, well, what about this and what about that? No, I didn't want to do any of the machines or hook her up to anything like that, because to me, that's, you know,
artificial,
and it kind of defeats the purpose. But at the same time, it's like, you know, and I told them, I said, you're going to give her something to drink, and you're going to give her something to eat, end of story. And, they did. And, you know, she hung on for another couple weeks after that. But, you know, they would have just assumed to let her die. I mean, and with starvation.
Yeah, what I find interesting too is once the daughter saw that, you know, she didn't realize what she was signing, because it's probably 2,000 pages long, like Abomination Care. But anyways, as soon as she signed that, I mean, within minutes, they're pulling these tubes and pulling the IV, and you know, and the grandkids are wanting to give grandma a drink with a cup of water, and bam, they grab that sippy cup thing out of their hand, and I mean, it's brutal. And she's like, well, wait a minute, that's not what I signed up for. I'd like, you know, I want to rescind that order, and you can't. Once you sign it, that's it. And, you know, the reality is we know that you can only live 3 days without water, right? So yep. Basically they know the best she's going to do is make it for 3 days. But it's evil. And this man, the friend of mine, he said this is the third time. He says, you know, I can't take it. He says, they're just killing them. And I said, you know, you're going to think this is science fiction, but there's those that come to steal, kill, and destroy, and they're in the medical establishment. You know, don't get me wrong. There are those that are good, those that do want to try to help people, but there's an awful lot that don't. And I said, you know, we get power from our God, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, through prayer and petition and fasting and praise and worship. And I said, what you don't understand is they get power from their God, Lucifer, through pain and suffering and anguish and death. And, you know, if you'd have said that 10 years ago, they would have wanted to put a straitjacket on you. But now, people are starting to wake up. I think the spell is being broken. God is hearing us as we ask, Lord, for our people, those that can, bring them to repentance. Lord, open their eyes, remove the scales from their eyes, and unstop their ears so that they will be able to see and to hear the truth. And you know what? He said, you know, I wouldn't have believed it, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, but I believe it.
Amen. You can look it up, folks, online if you want. Palliative, P-A-L-L-I-A-T-I-V-E. It's a new term to me. You know, it you look it up, and oh, they it looks good on paper. They describe it as it's a type of hospice. Well, they've had hospice in, and you know, but our enemy, they have to continue on. One interesting thing that I saw looking it up this morning, it says palliative care is a term derived from Latin palliar, quote, to cloak, meaning hidden.
Hmm.
So how about that? It's from the Latin word palliar, to cloak, to hide. They say one thing, but they you know, the true meaning is hidden, I think would be applicable. The true meaning is hidden. So, well, guys, we have a caller's been waiting. Well, go ahead, John.
Sure. No, go ahead.
Let's try the caller. Caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man. This is Tom in Montana.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, you all know that Dad died a couple of years before Pastor Peters, and this is something that really gets to my heart. It is a den, a demon. Those places are a den of demons. They are demonic. And man, people, take care of your elders. Take care of your elders, for crying out loud. They thrive on it. They sit there, and it's just like a bunch of gargoyles hanging over them, just sucking the energy out of everything that's in that room. And it's a terrible, terrible thing, and it's no good.
you know, the sad thing.
And they make it sound so good, palliative care, hospice care. It's because they've got the best advertisers in the world working on that sort of thing, just so that they can draw their demonic energy from it.
Yeah, and don't think that they're not teaching it in the public school systems, too.
Oh, but, boy.
You know, the sad thing is, you know, the sad thing is, Tom, is society today, they don't want to be burdened with taking care of the parents that took care of them their whole life. and they see this as a release. You know, that's the sad thing. That's the sin. That's the disgusting part of it. And the reality is, the one thing that they don't stop doing is giving them the painkillers. And I got news for you. Who knows what that injection is, you know? That could be not just painkillers. I agree with you, brother. When I heard it, you know, having a heart for God's people, Dad could always see it too, and he's been preaching it for years, how they come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that they take pleasure in these, you know, the pain, suffering, anguish, and murder, especially of our people.
Amen. And they do. It's just demonic. And thank you for your time, fellow.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Tom.
Yep. You have a fine day.
You too. 307-7.
The pain.
Yeah. 307-745.
Either anguish and the children, too. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, hearing what everybody's talking about, it's just, you know, went through that 8 years ago and with the children's hospital. It's, you know, people thought I was crazy when I could tell them the night before when, it, you know, if a child was going to die in the section that we were at. And it was, you could tell, it was, they would get ready for a child death and they'd be getting ready for it all that day before that child would die that night. In that NICU that we were in.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
you know, people don't want to believe that. They didn't want to, you know. But after you spend that many months there, you get to notice some things and you can tell.
Yep. Pure evil. You know, and the other thing is, some of these kids, they look forward to it. Because, hey, guess what's coming next? The inheritance. So, it's sad. Anyways, I think it's something that we really need to educate our people about. Most people don't understand the evils of it. You there?
Yeah.
Oh, thought I lost you.
No,
I'm on my cell phone.
I agree. So. One of those things. What do you do?
Keep them out of there at all costs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the crazy thing was that she was, you know, up walking around on the hospital floor. The report I get, you know, I don't have two witnesses, but this man has no reason to lie to me. Basically, they said, well, she probably has a year and a half, 2 years left. When it was 2 days, basically, before when she took her last breath.
Yeah.
So, this is the other thing that I don't know what's true, and then we need to confirm this, but the one thing that all these people have in common is Medicare and Medicaid. But I've been told, and I'm not 100% sure, but as you know, we don't believe in health insurances really or any of that anyways, but what I've been told is that when you get to be senior citizen, I guess, or at least 65, when you're eligible for Medicare and Medicaid, you can't even if you can afford it, you can't buy private insurance is what I hear. There's supplements to Medicare and Medicaid, but from what I'm hearing, you can't even buy supplemental insurance. Don't know if that's true or not, but...
Interesting.
Well, guys, the phone line's ringing again. Let's take another caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning. Enjoying some coffee with you. This is Kevin.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, gentlemen. Again, I had a couple subjects I wanted to bring up. One, I want to describe a scene. I always get a good 15 years more. I've been getting raw milk from a place. It's an Amish farm. Probably about 40 miles from me, and last Friday it was snowing, and I was out there at the barn getting milk out of the bulk tank, and I just wanted to describe something beautiful that still exists in the land. While I'm getting my milk out of the bottom of the bulk tank, The crew that's in there milking 33 head are five young men between the ages of 5 and 15 years old. They're milking 33 head, smiles on their faces, hats on their heads, and just enjoying themselves, always making quips and talking to me and having fun. But then I leave there, and snow's getting pretty bad. And along the road, within about a mile, I must have seen at least 50 Amish children, there have been more, on at least three different frozen ponds. And they have LED lights these days. They light up the ponds. They have ice skates on. The girls have scarves tied on their heads, scarves around their necks, long skirts. Young men just having a blast. Now, where could we see that anywhere else in the United States? Pick a city. Then,
yeah, it's a simpler life. Okay.
Oh, my Lord. And these young men don't know that it's a labor. They are just in order. And it's just so heartwarming. Every visit I make there, I go there about every 4 weeks. And I just wanted to describe realities that can exist with order in the home.
Sure.
I know the Amish, I know much about them because I live around the old order Amish, which are completely, you know, a lot different than that. They don't have the equipment and stuff where I get my milk and stuff. It's a different group. But then I wanted to bring up the subject of these men in Oregon. And I believe, or I'm thinking, that man that died up there, he died on the altar of Baal, in my thinking. I believe they try to describe he was on his knees and so forth. That part, I have no idea what occurred there. But I never heard them say out there, we are Christian people. We're bringing back the Christian belief into this country and the faith in God. And all their little tinker toys and all the names they give themselves of militia and so forth. I don't believe the Ammons were militia and all that. But they, the Bundys anyway. But this thing about, there is nobody I've heard yet saying, we are out here, we're a Christian. And I believe that those men, being on that part of Nevada, are Mormons. And I never heard the Mormons come out and back them. I never heard anything like that. And doomed to fail. All their little tinker toys, all the guns that they could ever collect. God, I never heard them saying, God's with us. We're going to do this right. Do you have any comment about that?
I've heard them say it, but it's not the principal reason. They're not saying we're taking this country back for Jesus Christ or anything like that. No king but King Jesus isn't their battle cry. And yeah, from what I've read too, that it's a Mormon sect of people who are primarily taking that stand. So I would agree with you. Just as our pastor said too, if we would ever have a candidate that would run for president that would stand firmly on his Christian beliefs and would not back down, would not become lukewarm just to appease, the different political views, then he believed that God would reward that and bring them victory. So we don't see that, you know, and that's a good point that you brought up, is that's not their first statement. That's not their first agenda. That's not their first goal, is to promote the kingdom of Jesus Christ, or to boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. And without that, you're doomed from the start.
The thing is there's a couple different things that you got to look at in the whole situation there. I mean, you know, first of all, does that mean, you know, because they don't come out and say that, we're doing this for the advancement of the Christian faith or something along those lines, does that mean that they're wrong? No, not. I mean, not at all. I mean, you know, if it's the way that they say that it is, and they were making a stand, you know, trying to stand up for this family that was having their land stolen from them. I mean, you know, the everything that I can find, going back looking at newspaper articles for the past several years, it appears that part of the story is exactly the way that they're telling it, that, you know, this family has been targeted by the government to get their hands on the land.
Yes.
You know, and I at this point, with everything that I've read, that's what it sure looks like. You know, now, not to say that there isn't false flags involved in this whole situation, but, you know, this family has been targeted. They've been wanted off that land. The government wants it. You know, they want them, and they want a lot of people. They want everyone off the land and in cities and dependent upon, you know, their system.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that their purpose wasn't justified. And you know, the reality is, if they would have come out and said that we want to restore, they would be labeled as kooks and everything else. So I guess part of the thing we got to look at, Kevin, is that you have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, too. But
yeah, I concur with that, that they want their land. And I'll bring up two quick ones. The land in Europe was given over to the locusts now because they've left God. We've learned for years how the England and Great Britain, all those countries, have forsaken God. And the locusts are in there eating them up. And one more thing. I heard recently that in Wyoming, they're going to establish the new Mecca in the West. Do you know about that happening?
Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to talk about, yeah.
Okay.
Kevin?
I should leave my...
Nope. Yeah, Kevin, appreciate the comments. And, you know, the thought that occurs to me with that is, well, they're going to try. And that's their plans. You know, the Lord sits in the heavens and he laughs at the plans of these evil men. And I think when you were talking about the standoff there in Oregon, one thing that I think they didn't understand is the unseen war, that the unseen third party. It's not just that the BLM is out of control. It's not. It is, and I think that's one of the downfalls, is that the people don't understand what Pastor wrote about in his book called The Unseen War. They know that something's wrong, but they don't see that aspect of it. They don't see that when the Bible says you're either for me, says Jesus Christ, or you're against me. You either gather or you scatter. It's one or the other. And the lukewarm, the ones that are right there in the middle, the mugwumps with their mug on one side of the fence and their wump on the other, you know, Christ, I mean, God said, I'll puke you out of my mouth. And so there's not that, you know, that protection of Psalms 91, the promises of God being with his people are not with those that are lukewarm. And many are lukewarm. Part of it is because they don't understand that unseen third party. They don't understand that unseen war. And that was part of what Pastor preached on most of his career, was to try to open the people's eyes to see that. You know, we've talked about it in the medical field. They are killers. We see it here in the government. They are stealers. They are destroyers. Well, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's what they do. They are not for Christ, therefore they are against him. But when you're lukewarm, well, you know, you can't fight City Hall, or, well, that's your interpretation. Well, you go right ahead, and you do what you think is right. You know, make yourself God, and you decide right from wrong. And I think that is, you know, that's part of their downfall out there. If you don't. Now, I agree with you, Jason. You know, was what the BLM has been doing is wrong? Absolutely. This family, this Hammond family, has it documented back like 20 years. The stealing and destroying that's going on out there, and it's that the Hammond Ranch is the last ranch standing. They're the last ones. But there used to be like 20 different ranches in this big wetlands area, natural resource area, that the BLM has stolen from the people, saying, oh, but now it belongs to the people. It's absolute insanity. And the BLM, what they have done is wrong, but it's part of the warfare. Two generations ago, Detroit was full of manufacturing facilities that built vehicles that paid jobs. The money stayed in this nation. It was part of our economy. But guess what? It ain't that way no more. Somebody stole it. Somebody's removed it. And this going on out there is just another aspect of that war against Christianity. And I think it's right in line also with what you said about how the Europeans, they've forsaken God and their land's been taken away from them. Hello, McFly. Do you see what's happening here in this country? You know,
sure do.
And God, in his infinite mercy, is letting these people, just like in the days of old, he would, you know, Israel would be wicked and he would punish them. And he would say, okay, Judah, you see what your sister did? You see, I'm giving you an example. Now, you better repent. And what would Judah do? Huh. They'd do 10 times worse. And tell me that history is not repeating itself today. God is letting his people in America, this new J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M, the apple of his eye, he's letting them see what our sisters, what our brothers have done in Europe in thumbing their nose at God and giving him the finger and having the hordes come in and rape their women and take their land and destroy that 1,500 years of Christianity because they have forsaken him. And what do we do as a people over here? Huh, we laugh at them. Serves them right. By God, you ain't going to do that over here. Guess what's coming? Unless repentance comes first. The very same thing. Kevin,
same thing.
Thank you, brother, for the call. All right.
God bless you. God bless you.
Jason, I haven't heard about the Mecca in the West. You have some stuff on that? That was news to me.
Yeah, basically, Mecca of the West. Saudi billionaire, Sharik, Sharon, Shiro, whatever, some kind of camel jockey name. Anyway, he purchased the town of Buford, Wyoming. And the last year, $1.8 million. And started construction with it, basically hired the construction group, the Bin Laden group, to start building the Mecca. They're trying to call it the Mecca of the West. And, you know, basically bringing in, they've started breaking ground on it. Supposed to be, you know, they want to be able to attract 500,000 Muslims a year to Buford, Wyoming. That's what they want to do. You know, these mosques are popping up all over the country. I mean, just like in growth. You know, but here, right in our backyard, you know, basically the project has got a budget of $650 million. And, you know, this Muhammad Camel, whatever his name is the one that wanted to bring in. He says that's one of his dreams, is always to be able to bring the Muslim faith to the United States. And he purchased the town, and that was kind of one of his dreams and his goals. And, you know, it just ties in with that, you know, unseen third party and that takeover. I mean, it's, you know, it's war. And people, the faster that they realize that, hey, we're in warfare, the better off they are, because it's going on all around us. And, you know, a lot of stuff, you just don't hear about it. But, you know, it's happening. It's happening all over the place.
You know, well, I knew this. You know, Buford is you drive through it, it's got population of one, between Laramie and Cheyenne, and it went up for auction here just a few years ago, and a Vietnamese person bought it, Phin Phat Phan or something like that, and I see these news reports now of this Saudi millionaire that's bought it from him. That's certainly news here. Who knows? Who knows? I think, again, God sits in the heavens and laughs.
Amen.
You know, he sits in the heavens and laughs. So.
Well, I think that it's you know, the time of, you know, it's Psalms 83, you know. It's I was reading Psalms 83. I read it the other day when I was looking at some of these stories, and I'll tell you what, it fits, because our enemies have made an uproar against us. You know, these nations have come against us, and, you know, I believe that's what it's going to take for them to be dealt with.
Absolutely.
Well,
no shortage of things to pray for or against, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen to that. Well, guys, we're about out of time this hour with the Wranglers, and thank you, Remnant, for tuning in. A couple things going on. Volume 1 of 2016, the Dragon Slayer newsletter, is still hot on the presses, and it'll be hot off the presses within a day or two. Is that still holding pretty close to true there, Jason?
We're gonna ship it out first thing early Monday morning.
Awesome. So Monday it's going in the mail, so by the end of the week, February, first week of February, maybe the next Monday, you'll be getting that in the mail. And it's chock full. Got another couple of big, good articles in it. I think you're going to enjoy them. If you don't get the Dragon Slayer newsletter, we've got some new things we're advertising in here. Maybe you heard Jason talk about it Tuesday night, the Bible Comes Alive series. I know my boys were listening in, and it had their attention for sure. And we've already sent a couple orders for those out. And so some new things we're trying to continue as we've prayed to continue to spread the gospel, to continue to tend the sheep. And so part of it's in the Dragon Slayer newsletter. If you'd like to get that, if you don't get it, you can write to us. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. And so if you contact us and say, hey, send me one of those newsletters, we'll be glad to do it. And it'll also be on the website, scripturesforamerica.org. The last several years' worth of our newsletters are archived there. And all of this is possible because of the support of the faithful remnant, because of your tithes, of your offerings. We're able to continue on in getting the gospel out. And as we wrap up this morning, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We'll be having church at the La Porte Church of Christ starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast. And we do invite you to come there. We'll have a review of the news. You'll get to see the ramrod there, and he'll have a welcome for us and some scriptures to share. And not sure where we're at for communion tomorrow, but somebody will be bringing a communion message. And we'll have some Holy Spirit-inspired music and a Holy Spirit-inspired message that'll be full of Scripture. I can guarantee you that. So there's the welcome. You can't say you weren't invited. So if you'd like, come to church with us tomorrow. Men, thanks so much. Again, if you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides.
My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.